Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello and welcome in. It is the Friday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Drew, the capable one, at the controls, the rhythm section of the show. And, of course, Bill Cameron in Texas, I think. We may not know. We'll find out when he gets on the air momentarily because he is on the line. And we will be going to Bill in just a few moments. 334-321-1390 is the number if you want to jump in on the Friday edition of The Drive. You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box. That is presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, rate, review, subscribe, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center. All that presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. We're going to talk with Scott Bagwell, the voice of the Auburn High School Tigers, at the bottom of hour number one. We're going to talk with Don Dunn, the coach, the pit boss, the defensive line coach, in a game where I think that one of the most important matchups is how the Auburn defensive line fares. Granted, Texas A&M is not a team that has run the ball in any, you know, they haven't really focused on the run in any of their three games this year, but I know Bobby Petrino, and if a team can't stop first and 10 up the middle, they're going to be in real trouble against him. The Auburn run defense is going to have to hold up if they're going to keep this game close enough to win in College Station on Saturday. And so we'll talk with Don Dunn about what he thinks of the various matchups, including how the Auburn defense and how the front seven matchup in the passing game, you know, getting to Connor Wegman, and also how they're going to hold up against the Texas A&M run game. Let's talk with someone who's going to go to the Auburn-Texas A&M game tomorrow. His first ever trip to College Station for an Auburn A&M game, and it's Bill Cameron who joins us from somewhere between here and Kyle Field in College Station. How you doing, Bill?
Actually, I'm a little past Kyle Field, looking for our accommodation.
Okay,
I just went by the media headquarters in College Station, and I beat the credentials there, so I got to go back by and pick those up in a little while. I will tell you this, Dan. I don't know how many more times I'm going to drive out here. The weather's been beautiful. It hasn't been too bad until we've gotten, I'm telling you what, from Lafayette, Louisiana, to Houston, is nothing but construction. And I would say the worst drivers I've ever encountered in my life.
So who is on the Louisiana side or the Texas side or both?
Oh, the Texas side.
Okay,
Texas,
all right.
They're bigger and badder. More big trucks. I mean, you know, the F-350s and things like that. Driving about 95 and cutting three lanes at a time. We haven't seen any wrecks, but that's been a miracle.
A major miracle. Remember earlier this year when we had our flight? I was going to fly with the Troy team we were going to play. I believe Texas State was the opponent, and it became clear weather wasn't going to allow us, so we drove. We stayed the night, in like the Monroe, and then the next day we were in Houston. There were two near misses that were not the bus driver's fault. Once we got from Louisiana into Texas, so I can understand what you're saying. Yeah, Houston is that is the Wild West on the road. So be safe. and be careful. I was talking about the matchup a little bit before we got to you, Bill. And, yeah, I mean, Justin pointed out that A&M, I think they haven't they're throwing it about 60-65% of the time. That's a little bit skewed by the fact that they were having to play catch-up against Miami, especially in the second half. I think they would like to be more balanced than that. And I think the Auburn, you know, the pressure is going to be on the Auburn run defense tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. The pressure's on the Auburn defense. I mean, well, it'll be on both. But I think also, you know, the pressure is on A&M. It's one of those when or the season's going to be, it's going to be hard for this season to be considered a success if they're 2-2 right now and losing to a team that they're 8-point favorites over. Whoa, here's another one. Yeah, I can't get over.
Yeah, the setback if you're a team in, and I stumbled on this yesterday, the setback for a team with a coach in year six who has out-recruited his opponent over the last few years and is playing at home against a coach in year one taking over a team that does not have a winning record in their last, what, 10, 12, 15 conference games, right? You think about the end of Malzahn plus the Harsin era. Like for a coach inheriting a team like that in year one to go to College Station and win, it would be the comparison I made yesterday, Bill. If you remember when Tennessee came here in 2018, when Jeremy Pruitt was in year one and Gus Malzahn was in year six, and they won that game. Like, it would be that for A&M tomorrow if Auburn wins the football game. Now, Auburn's only an 8-point underdog. Tennessee was about a 17-18-point underdog in that game in 2018. But that's the blow I think Auburn could land if they pull the upset off tomorrow in College Station.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, so we'll have to wait and see, you know, how things go. I mean, it would be so beneficial if Auburn can get off to a good start, get off to a quick start. I'm telling you, it is hot. The forecast right now, our outdoor temperature as we're driving along is showing 100 degrees here at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, and another game that's – yeah, and that's – I'm glad you mentioned the temperature because I think that the depth – I mean, depth is important whenever you play SEC conference games, but I think especially with the weather, you know, that'll be in the mid-80s and rising throughout kickoff, you know, throughout the afternoon tomorrow, that's the kind of weather that can test how good is your – how good is your second string at the line of scrimmage? How good is your depth at running back in places where, you know, Auburn's been talking about being thin at linebacker? That could be that could be an important part tomorrow, you know, in how this game plays out. I do remember the game 2 years ago too, Bill, and you know, when Harsin took a team to College Station and it was close for a while, but Auburn was, you know, Auburn did not have the advantage at the line of scrimmage on either side of the ball. And it was sort of, you know, the concern would be, is Jimbo Fisher, as he raised the standard of A&M's talent there in a way that makes it tough, it's going to make it tough for a lot of teams in the SEC that aren't recruiting like that to compete with him. We haven't seen that in wins and losses for A&M, but I still, you know, I think about that game and I just worry, could A&M have a – could A&M have a clear advantage at the line of scrimmage tomorrow on both sides of the ball? And if so, Auburn's probably in for a tough day.
Well, the one thing that Auburn has over that team from, well, a couple of things they have over that team from 2 years ago is it's Hugh Freeze, also the coach. But the fact that Auburn now is back to believing in building depth on both sides of the ball, especially on the defensive line. Auburn has played more players on the defensive line already through three games than they have each of the last 2 years for the entire season. So guys like Keldrick Falk and Lawrence Johnson and, I mean, being able to use both Jason Jones and Justin Rogers, I mean, they have players, they have some depth. They're going to need those guys tomorrow. That was one of the reasons that you saw Auburn falter late in so many ball games under Brian Harsin, is they just didn't build much depth at all.
Yeah, saw a Zykevious Walker appearance in the first half against against Samford. That's another guy who, I mean, he's been playing catch up because of the circumstances, you know, that he's had to go through this off season. But if Zykevious can get out there, you know, he's a guy who was, I mean, all this talk of recruiting, right? Like he's one of the biggest recruits on the Auburn defensive line. It's just a matter of showcasing that ability on the field, and you know, I think that would be a guy that Auburn would love to be able to count on as part of the rotation. And Bill, I know you've always thought, you know, that there might be something special under the surface with Zykevious Walker.
Oh yeah, I mean, we saw it. It's interesting as a freshman, he was probably he showed a little spark early, and you thought that you know he was you know very talented compared to like a Kobe Wooden. It looked like he would get more playing time. Early on, and the last couple of years, for whatever reason, he just hasn't, you know, he hasn't been able to get on the field that much. It was great to see him there on the field, you know, this past week.
Auburn going to have to play. Go ahead.
We're headed to a dead end. It looks like where we're supposed to be going.
All right, Bill, I'm going to let you. Hey, I'm going to let you sort that out. I'll talk a little bit longer. We're going to have Scott Bagwell.
I'll check back in just a little bit.
All right, Bill Cameron, hopefully not driving towards a dead end in somewhere in Texas as he makes his way to College Station for the first time for an Auburn A&M game. We'll hear from Bill. Here's hoping we will hear from Bill later on in the show. And yeah, Auburn, as the point I was making as before Bill drove to the dead end there, Keontae Scott out for the foreseeable future. Auburn's slot corner, star, nickel, a lot of different terminology for that position. Sounds like if Donovan Kaufman can go, and they were taking it easy with Donovan on Tuesday, if Donovan Kaufman could go, I would think he, more than any other individual player, steps into that Keontae Scott role. I posited on the Observer podcast, maybe Jalen Simpson would be a candidate to step into that role and they could play Kaufman and Zion Puckett at safety. But Jalen has been outstanding in the role that he's playing right now. So maybe they wouldn't want to mess with that success and play Jalen there in closer to the line of scrimmage. Maybe they'll stick with maybe they'll stick with Jalen and Zion as the safeties. But those are the two. Yeah, I mean, without Keontae, I'm thinking Kaufman. You saw Colby Wooden when both Keontae and Donovan Kaufman were unavailable against Samford. Maybe Colby Wooden would be someone who could continue. And then the talk this week, saw it on Tuesday when I went to the practice, that they're running J.D. Rimm, the second-year defensive back who had an interception against Samford. They're going to go with J.D. Rimm in the nickel role as well. Kayan Lee, the outside corner that I imagine if Nehemiah can go, and that's another question mark, but if Nehemiah can play, you'd think Nehemiah and DJ James on the outside, Kayan Lee ready to step in for either of them or provide depth inside depending on the situation. But it would be mostly Kaufman and J.D. Rimm there at in the nickel corner. That's a spot, especially against a team that preaches balance like A&M, like they're gonna test him against the run. Whoever's playing instead of Keontae, probably Donovan, if Donovan can go. If not, I would think Caleb Wooden. They're gonna test him against the run. They're gonna test him with the slot receivers, and it's gonna be, you know, if they spot a weakness, they're gonna go after it. You know, again, Bobby Petrino has decades of I don't know how many games between offensive coordinating and being a head coach, right? Like, I don't know how many games we're talking about with Bobby Petrino at the college level. I would throw 200 out there, you know, something like that, you know, over the course of his career. Maybe even more than that. You know, maybe I'm lowballing it, but I mean, that's about, yeah, 20 years or so as a college coach. And he's been, aside from a couple of notable absences, he's been, you know, he's been around pretty much every year since the late 90s. So, I mean, this is a guy who has, you know, it's clear what he's going to try to do, right? It's not full of surprises. It's a matter of being able to stop it, having the personnel, and having those guys go out there and carry out the plan. Roberts versus Petrino, one of the really interesting matchups tomorrow. And, yeah, we'll see what Auburn can do as A&M looks to pick up a win in their first conference game. Auburn looking to really start off conference play strong, going on the road to College Station and beating the Aggies. We're going to take a break. Again, Scott Bagwell going to preview tonight's Auburn High School game against Percy Julian, the former Lee High School. We're going to talk with Scott at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk with Don Dunn, former Auburn defensive line coach, in hour number two. Would love to hear from you. How are you feeling about tomorrow? 334-321-1390. Any other game? Bama Ole Miss. Drew, where are you on Bama Ole Miss? You think Bama's going to win? You're not buying it? Yeah, Drew's giving me the... I mean, again, I'd love to believe, you know, we're in this new era. I think in both Notre Dame and Ole Miss, it would be more fun for college football. As someone who doesn't have a true rooting interest in the games, I think it would be more fun for college football if Ole Miss beat Bama or Notre Dame beat Ohio State, because there have been a couple of schools that have had, you know, they've cornered the market on contending for championships over the last few seasons. And I think a lot of folks would like to see more schools in that mix, or some of the schools that have had a lot of success over the last few years. It's nothing against the Bama program or the Ohio State program. I would just think a lot of folks are rooting for variety, and Ole Miss winning in Tuscaloosa or Notre Dame beating Ohio State in a game where Ohio State comes in as a, you know, a top five program, like those are games that would signal that there's some variety coming in college football, and, you know, some new teams at the top of college football. Maybe not the top, because someone's still got to beat Georgia, right? And all right, how about this, Drew? National champion this year, Georgia or the field? Who would you take right now if you had to guess? Georgia? Yeah. So we're still not quite at the, there's a ton of variety there as to who's going to do it. But yeah, I think that's what folks are rooting for. I need to see it. Now, I've seen Sam Hartman enough to believe that if Notre Dame gets rolling, I think they could be. And I don't know what's going on with the Ohio State quarterback. People wanted him benched a couple weeks ago. They weren't all that explosive against Indiana, you know, first couple quarters. But, like, that one, and it's in Notre Dame, which I think will matter. You know, I gotta believe it, you know, with Ole Miss. I think we talked to Pascal about it. Two victories in program history in Tuscaloosa. Like, that's... it's hard to go against that kind of history, even if Bama has looked lost at times offensively these first couple of weeks. That's a hard one to, that's a hard streak to ignore. All right, we'll take a break. Again, 334-321-1390, the number to dial. We'll be back with more. You are listening to the Friday edition of The Drive.
Every day counts. Every minute matters.
6-7 online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in hour number one of the Friday edition of The Drive. Auburn A&M. Second road game of the season for Auburn. First conference game of the season. First conference road game for Auburn as they go to College Station. Auburn won their first four games in College Station after A&M joined the league. Malzahn went 4-0 as Auburn's coach in College Station. Auburn lost in 21, their most recent visit to A&M. That game was. A game where it felt like the defenses had the edge for most of the first three. I think Pascal mentioned yesterday, I think it was 3-3 during the third quarter before A&M had a couple of scores. And yeah, that was a game where Auburn just couldn't really get into gear offensively at any point. And I think Bo Nix got hurt a week later, and the Harsin era was really... it was never really the same. I mean, it was the 1-2 punch of losing that game. Not just losing that game, but seeming so inept offensively. And then turning around a week later and losing the game and Bo Nix in the Mississippi State game. So, Yeah, this is a it's a big game for Hugh Freeze. I would not blow it out of proportion as a must-win game. I think the Hugh Freeze era can stay on track with a win. Now, if you lose this game, it's probably not like the dreams of an SEC championship, a playoff appearance, like things like that. Like those take a hit. If you lose, because you've got other games that on paper appear to be as difficult or more difficult. I had someone argue with me yesterday and say the way A&M has recruited these last few years, if Auburn goes to College Station tomorrow and it's close and it's competitive and Auburn can hang at the line of scrimmage with A&M, does it give you hope that a week later against Georgia in Jordan-Hare Stadium, maybe that game won't be the cakewalk people think it is? And I sort of see the logic there, where if Auburn can't compete at the line of scrimmage tomorrow, I don't think Jordan-Hare Stadium is enough to overcome what you're probably going to face against Georgia. Like, if Auburn tomorrow is at a disadvantage on both sides of the line of scrimmage, a week later you play Georgia and you're probably at a bigger one, even though the game's at Jordan-Hare. If you go to College Station tomorrow and you hang with what they've assembled these last couple of years, I think it was Adam Cole checked, and it's four straight years of recruiting at least the top 10, a top 10 class in 24/7. There is a number one class mixed in, the one from the class of 22, I believe it was the one. It ignited all the controversy. I remember Lane Kiffin and Nick Saban talking about NIL and stuff like that. Like, that was so there are multiple angles to look at with a game like this. But I do think if Auburn wins, they're way ahead of schedule. If Auburn, if this game's a close game in the fourth quarter, I think it indicates, with the talent A&M has and the fact that the game's in College Station, if this game's close in the fourth quarter, it tells you this could be an Auburn team that throws punches all season long in conference play. And I guess we could find out that A&M's not all that special and A&M loses a bunch of games on the schedule. I don't think that's how this is going. I mean, we'll see. But Auburn winning tomorrow could further push the boulder downhill for Jimbo Fisher and everyone around that A&M program. But no, I think Auburn's, now I'm in wait and see mode on it, but if Auburn can, if Auburn can hang tomorrow, it's a really positive sign for what you could face the rest of this season. And that's not to overrate A&M, but I do think it's important not to underrate A&M either. I mean, yes, they've lost some puzzling conference games. There's an App State loss in there too. They've lost some games that you, on paper, think they shouldn't have lost over the last couple of seasons. They've got, I mean, Hugh Freeze is not padding, he's not finding himself a soft place to land in case Auburn loses this weekend when he says, it's not the only thing he's doing, when he says this is an A&M team full of NFL players. I think he made the point again on Tiger Talk yesterday. He said it at the press conference on Monday. This team is loaded with talent everywhere, and he said it at the teleconference on Wednesday. Every chance he's had this week, he's pointed out how good the roster is for this A&M team, and I think we'll see what Hugh Freeze's roster can do against someone who's been building his team for a couple of years and recruiting at a very high level like Jimbo Fisher. Speaking of Tiger Talk, 94 Wings 94.3 had yesterday's edition of Tiger Talk. That's where you can hear tomorrow's game. Early morning coverage, game day with Uncle T-Bone and Jack doing they've got that going. Do I have that right? 7 a.m.? 7 a.m. tomorrow. So grab a biscuit or something first, guys. You'll find one of the one of Auburn's fine establishments for breakfast. I have to tape the Observer podcast on Sunday mornings, to get it out early enough for the post game, for the game recap. And I've been going to different breakfast spots, getting treating myself to if I got to be up early to tape that thing. At least I'm gonna do it full of eggs. Anyways, but 7 a.m. tomorrow, Wings 94.3. Starting the coverage and then rolling through into the Auburn Sports Network coverage of Auburn, Texas A&M with Andy and Jason, Will Herring, Paul Ellen, the rest of the gang. If you're not going to College Station, tune in to Wings 94.3 and listen to the call of Auburn and Texas A&M. Should be a really fun game tomorrow morning live from College Station. Yeah, you can catch it on Wings 94.3. I believe ESPN has the TV of this one. I think this one's on ESPN. I think this one's on ESPN. It's not ESPN. I want to call it ESPN Classic, but that's not. No, ESPN Classic was a different channel. Now, ESPN Classic's not around anymore. They've gotten rid of ESPN Classic, but they should call ESPN ESPN Classic to differentiate it from two, right? Or one, ESPN One. Okay, so ESPN ESPN will have tomorrow's Auburn-Texas A&M game, and you're not going to want to miss it. First SEC game for Hugh Freeze as the head coach of the Auburn Tigers. We will be back with more. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Friday edition of The Drive.
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Hour number one of the Friday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Drew at the controls. Of course, Podcast of The Drive presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Get them wherever you get your podcasts. We will check in with Bill Cameron at some point, I think between now and the end of the show. Scott Bagwell had something pop up at 4:30. We're going to have him a little bit later on in the show, but we will talk with Scott Bagwell about tonight's Auburn High School versus Percy Julian matchup. And we've got Don Dunn in hour number two as well, but let's get to the phones. And Bill is on the line. What's up, Bill?
How you doing, Dan? I was the game tomorrow. We haven't looked in sync all year. It may come together tomorrow. It needs to, because that's probably quite easily the best roster we've played against so far. And I just want the guys to give a good account of themselves. I don't think the future of Auburn football lives and dies what happens tomorrow. It would be nice to get a win, but we are in a rebuilding state, and A&M has, whether their coaching staff can get one foot in front of the other is neither here nor there. They got a lot of good football players.
A decisive A&M win tomorrow would be sort of a cold blast of water to the face as far as how far Auburn is from the best teams in the SEC. Although a lot can change in a year, A&M, I've pointed out, Miami scored 9 points in College Station last year in year one for Mario Cristobal, and a year later they got A&M again and they scored at will in the second half. In year two. So things can change, but maybe they haven't changed quickly enough, and that would be on display if A&M ran away from Auburn in tomorrow's game, which I don't know if that's going to happen. I think we could find out very early that could be a game, that could be on the table.
Yeah, I think the game, you're pretty good, get a good feel for it early on, and I just hope we can slow them down. The quarterback, man, he didn't look very good last year, but he's looked like he's improved quite a bit, and they have some really good receivers. And so I'm just hoping the guys give a good account of themselves. That's all you can ask them to do is do the best they can, and hopefully we can put string enough together to stay in that thing and make it a good ball game. So is Bill Cameron lost out in East Texas, or you put out a APB on him?
We don't know. We're tracking Bill Cameron right now. I called the guys from Sicario, and they're gonna find out where Bill Cameron is. They're somewhere in Texas, hopefully, and so we'll get that. We got Bill, we appreciate the phone call. Great stuff as always. Do you want to take the break early and then get Scott for the rest of the? Because I don't want to push it. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, Scott. We're gonna go to break, and when we come back, we're gonna have Scott Bagwell for a lot of time. Let's do it that way. So we're taking a break a little bit early. We're going to take the final break in hour number one. We're going to come back with Scott Bagwell previewing. We're going to talk a little Auburn A&M with Scott Bagwell, too. A little ATG classic for folks. And then we will also preview tonight's Auburn High School game against Percy Julian. So you're not going to want to miss that. It's homecoming parade last night. And yeah, a lot of folks excited about homecoming. We'll talk with Scott Bagwell when we come back on the Friday edition of The Drive.
It's been from the Abbey Award-winning Auburn Opelika this morning on News Talk.
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll-free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Friday edition of The Drive, Dan Peck in the studio, Drew at the controls, and we are thrilled to welcome in the voice of Auburn High School Athletics, Scott Bagwell, who will be calling tonight's game between Auburn and Percy Julian on the on Wings 94.3, where you can catch Auburn High School football. Homecoming, always an exciting time, and Scott, yeah, what can you tell us about, I guess let's start last week, right? Auburn looking, still looking to bounce, still looking to get right after the early setback in the season. But Auburn was able to, they were able to execute last Friday.
Yeah, Auburn against Dothan started well. Against Hoover kind of was, and then against Enterprise started very, very poorly. Best start of the year happened last week against Jag. Jag was in a bad spot at the quarterback position, fumbled the opening snap. Auburn was able to recover it, scored the touchdown on their first offensive play of the game. You're 16 seconds into the game, and Auburn High leads by a score of 7-0. Tough to get much better than that, and Auburn cruised from there, able to win 46-0. This week's going to be a little bit bigger test. Percy Julian have some guys back from last year's team who was incredibly young. And the other thing is Auburn – you know, the Enterprise game puts Auburn in such a weird spot with different things going on in the region. And you look at, we talked about the Dothan game, must win to make the playoffs, this, that, and the other. This is a must win. There is no path to the playoffs if you don't win tonight. So you're going to hear this phrase a lot, basically from now to the end of the year. Auburn's pretty much looking at a must win because of how it impacts playoffs going forward.
Right, and Auburn's got matchups with you got Opelika and Central coming up in the Opelika and Central are in the October slate of games, and so yeah, the stakes only increase between now and the postseason.
Well, right now you have tonight's game. Next week is at Ramsey, and people go, "Well, it's not region, doesn't matter." No, it matters a lot. The reason is because if you're looking at a three-team tie with Auburn, Dothan, Enterprise. If Auburn, right now, the tiebreaker, if it's all three of those teams tied and nobody knocks off Hoover or Opelika or Central, it's going to come down to not the teams you beat out of region, their total victories. Auburn right now is at 1 without that Ramsey win. And Enterprise has knocked off Eufaula, who's at 3, and they play Rehoboth, who has another win. Dothan plays Baker. If they knock off Baker, Baker's 4-0, so they're going to crank out some wins. They also knocked off Carroll, who's 3-1. So that tiebreaker scenario with Auburn and non-region wins is a tough spot right now. The easiest way to get out of that is to win out. That's going to be a tough, tall task with Auburn and the injuries. We'll see what happens, but this is a big one tonight. For those games to mean what they should mean, Auburn's got to take care of business tonight.
Right, and for Auburn, what can you tell us about how the offense has taken shape the last couple weeks?
Yeah. Auburn has.
I think we may have just lost Scott. Yeah, and we'll see if we can try the phones again there, Drew. If we if we can. Yeah, yeah. We were having some connectivity issues there. You know, it's live radio, but we're talking with Scott Bagwell, and could also be the I'm not a phone doctor. I'm not going to try to tell you what it is, but I think we can try to see if we've got it fixed. Scott, you there?
Can you hear me now?
It's still a little bit scrambled. I don't know if it's necessarily on your end. We might be experiencing something over on our side too. So we will. But we can hear you a little bit better. So my question was about the Auburn offense of late.
Yeah. And Henry Allen, who joined the team in the summer and slowly being integrated to everything. He's played better last week, and I think Auburn wants to see him throw the ball a little bit more here tonight. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in the pass game, because in the next three games, which is Ramsey, Opelika, and Central, Auburn's going to have to throw the ball to win those games. And that's the area where Auburn needs to improve the most, is the passing offense. So I'm interested to see what happens tonight. Auburn played four quarterbacks, actually. Three quarterbacks threw passes last week. I'm sure they're going to want Henry to get more and more familiar with the offense as the season goes, because Ramsey, number one team in 5A, looms large next week, and then you got Opelika in Central in two straight games.
Right, and for what do you know about the Percy Julian team that Auburn is taking on tonight?
They got some athletes on the offensive side of the ball that, if they're able to protect and get the ball downfield and get them in space, they can be a handful. Last year they played some freshmen, they played an eighth grader, they played a very, very young team. And a lot of those players are back. So it's a team that got some experience while taking some lumps last year. And now they have an opportunity to take that next step. They knocked off Sidney Lanier in a big crosstown rivalry game to start the year. And then they got Opelika and Central. So their first three region games were Opelika, Central, Auburn. That's about as tough as it gets. But they had a bye week last week, so I expect them to come in and play well tonight.
Wings 94-3. We'll have Scott Bagwell and company with the homecoming game, Auburn and Percy Julian. Scott, since you're here, since you're here, what can you tell us about Auburn and Texas A&M tomorrow? What are you thinking? What do you think are the most important aspects of the game? What's your feeling about Auburn's chances of winning?
If Auburn plays the way they played against Cal, they're going to lose somewhere in the neighborhood of 21-3. Defense played really, really well, but the offense put that defense in such a bad spot that there's no chance. Auburn's got to protect the ball. They got to win field possession. I think Auburn needs to find explosive plays. I expect the defense to play kind of well. I know they're banged up, but I just expect the defense to keep Auburn in the game. The question is the offense going to have enough explosive plays, whether it be run game, pass game, however you want to get them? How is Auburn going to find big explosive plays? I think the SEC is too tough defensively to drive the ball down the field. Like the 10, 11, 12, 13 play drives. Auburn's got to find a way to get chunk plays. I think that's the key. And then Auburn's got to find a way to play well early. How long has it been since Auburn's played well early on the road? Probably Arkansas in 21.
Yeah, so, no, it's a hot start in a road game, especially against a quality opponent. Feels like it's been a while, and that'd be pivotal, because I maintain, Scott, the longer this game is close, the more nervous they're going to get on the A&M side.
Yes. The other thing is with some of the coaches over there, you almost feel like if you keep it close and you frustrate out offense, eventually they're going to blow up at each other. So I don't know. It's such an interesting game with two staffs who are still kind of trying to figure each other out. A&M's had the big game at Miami that they lost. Auburn had the big game at Cal where they didn't play great, but they won. So I'm interested to see what happens. I think this is going to be if Auburn wins this one, you got a chance to go 8 to get 8 if you lose this one. And if you lose it, handedly, for Auburn fans, they're going to revert back to what 2021 and 2022 were and just, okay, can we get to a bowl game?
Outstanding stuff, as always. Scott, tell everybody, shout out the whole team. tonight on Wings 94.3 and when people need to tune in.
Yeah, Jack Hutton will be back with us, so will Rob Pate. All the action starts at 6:30. Airtime is 6:30. Kickoff at 7 on Wings 94.3. As Auburn looks to go to 4-1 on the year and get a big homecoming victory, and wrap up the beginning part of the first part of the schedule and really kick their way into the big kick at the end of the year, as Auburn's going to try to find their way into the playoffs and go from there.
Yeah, it feels like there's going to be a good team from this region not making the playoffs, right? Like there's going to be somebody, maybe more than one.
Yeah, it's six good teams for four spots. Yeah. Last year, Opelika beat the number one team in the state and did not make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean that's the kind of those are the stakes that we're dealing with at this region, and it's only going to get more interesting from here between now and the start of the postseason. You can catch it all on Wings 94.3 with Scott and the rest of the crew. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thanks, bud. Have a good one.
Appreciate it. Scott Bagwell, the voice of Auburn High School Athletics, Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com. You can go to AU Network. .com and find the Wings 94.3 tab and listen live that way. You can listen to all the stations live through the different station specific portals. But yeah, it's great stuff. And do not miss Scott's call tonight on Wings 94.3. Speaking of Wings 94.3, that's where tomorrow's Auburn University game will be. 7 a.m. the pregame show starting with. I shouldn't laugh. You know, commending those guys. For, you know, breakfast with Jack and Uncle T-Bone tomorrow to get things ready. It's like when the Wimbledon final starts at 7 a.m., except with Jack and Uncle T-Bone. So do not miss do not miss game day tomorrow morning. And then, of course, the Auburn University coverage with the Auburn Sports Network getting going. Andy, Jason, Will, Paul Ellen, they'll all be in College Station for tomorrow's 11 a.m. kick, Auburn and Texas A&M. We're going to talk with Coach Don Dunn in hour number two. We'd love to hear from you, 334-321-1390. Appreciate Scott Bagwell bearing with us there as we had a little phone issue during that call. And might hear from Bill Cameron again between now and the end of the show as well as Bill takes in his first ever Auburn Texas A&M game and yeah, it's a, I mean, beyond in the SEC, beyond Auburn A&M and Ole Miss Alabama, like, I mean, I guess Mississippi State versus South Carolina is a game where the loser probably has to go back to the drawing board. A second conference loss this early in the season would be something that hurts a team that, you know, had eyes on a big season. Arkansas, you know, I just don't know how much of a chance, you know, I think they've got. LSU was so impressive. LSU rolled in that game last Saturday with such little resistance, and yeah, I just worry that that's going to be something that LSU's really got. I mean, Arkansas is going to have to play such an inspired game, and maybe, you know, maybe that's back to the wall. You know, they're going to be able to give LSU a closer game than people expect. I just worry that this could be a really deflating weekend for a couple programs in the league. You know, if Auburn gets, you know, if Auburn gets beaten by multiple scores, it'd be a pretty deflating loss there. But yeah, I think in the case of Arkansas, like that does not. People are talking about, oh, you need a get right game. Oh, you need to bounce back. Like, LSU's not the team you want to see when you need to bounce back after a disappointing performance, and that's what Arkansas is facing down this Saturday. And I just think it could be for a team that had a lot of optimism, a lot of folks, even at media days, you know, thinking, you know, at a couple of the key spots, KJ Jefferson, Rocket Sanders. Coordinators that people like. It's been a rocky start to the season. Could get rockier with LSU going to town on Saturday night. We've got another hour of the drive. We're going to talk with Don Dunn. might talk with Bill Cameron. We'll see. Don't go anywhere. Hour number two coming right up. Stick around. Welcome back. Hour number two of the Friday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Drew at the controls, the capable one, fixing it. Whatever's wrong. He might have broken it. He'll fix it. He'll fix it. Bill Cameron is in Texas. He's going to tomorrow's Auburn versus Texas A&M game. You can maybe we'll hear from Bill between now and the end of the show. No guarantees. He'll be back Monday. So if we don't hear from him by the end of the show, we will get his report from College Station on Monday's edition of The Drive. Don Dunn, former Auburn defensive line coach, should join us in hour number two. Looking forward to hearing what the Auburn D-line coach thinks of this matchup and what we've seen from Auburn so far. He was a colleague. Coach Dunn was a colleague of Bobby Petrino when Petrino was a coach here at Auburn 20 years ago. That's the defensive line coach, or the offensive coordinator for Texas A&M, Bobby Petrino, former colleague of Don Dunn years ago. So we'll maybe get a Bobby Petrino story or two. I think Bill Cameron knew old Bobby Petrino when Bobby was around Auburn. So you know when Bill calls back in, we'll check in with Bill and see that. Hour number two of The Drive, brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika. On the web at orthoclinic.com. And you can call the show, 334-564-1840, or no, 334-321-1390. 334-321-1390, you can call the show. Or you can text us on the Drive text box, 334-564-1840. That's presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor podcasts of The Drive. However you listen to podcasts, ESPNAU.com or your favorite podcasting platform, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us out, and that's all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Bill Cameron is calling us back from Texas. We heard from him at the top of hour number one, and let's get back to Bill as we start hour number two. What's up, Bill?
Yeah, we found it. The directions, of course, the guidance didn't realize that there's construction about a half a mile before we get to the place where we're supposed to be staying, and it was like dead end with heavy moving equipment and stuff across the road. The pavement was torn up, and it was nothing but gravel. It's like, oh man, did we reserve a place that's non-existent? No, we found it. Everything's fine. Really nice and settled here. And Bryan, just outside of College Station, man, a ton of traffic around the campus. And we'll see. I mean, they're expecting, you know, a packed house for the ball game tomorrow. And we'll just, you know, can't wait to see. I'm glad it's an 11 o'clock game. That's one thing that I think everybody from Auburn, once they get here, want to go ahead and get this, you know, get this in the books and see what happens.
Yeah, I don't think the loss to Miami has significantly hindered enthusiasm around A&M. You know, they still seems like folks understand, you know, that that's a Miami offense that could impress people all season, and it was a road game, and A&M, you know, everything A&M wants to do is still in front of them. It's just a matter of going out on the field and winning some of these games, and yeah, that's where tomorrow could be a boost for A&M with an impressive performance. It could also be, you know, a real torpedo to the season if Auburn goes to College Station and pulls off the win.
Yeah, you know, we've spent most of the time talking about, well, how bad it would be if Texas A&M loses, but you know, they're looking at it. They see an Alabama team that looks vulnerable, an LSU team that's already lost a game out of conference, the same as Texas A&M. And as a matter of fact, some A&M people wondering, you know, why should LSU be getting a lot more credit than they are? They both lost, and they lost at Miami, where, I mean, it wasn't exactly a neutral site that LSU lost to Florida State in Orlando, but, I mean, still it wasn't on the campus. So A&M folks are feeling they can, you know, this is the first step that they need to take care of on their way to trying to get to Atlanta.
Right. And that's, I think that's the attitude until you, you know, until you see evidence in conference play that A&M can't be that team. I think that's probably the right attitude. It's just a matter of whether or not tomorrow, you know, they get evidence in conference play that A&M might be a little bit closer to the middle of the league, or Auburn has taken a real step forward in just a couple of games and just a couple of months under Hugh Freeze. I was talking about Bobby Petrino earlier before we got to you, Bill. And Don Dunn and Bobby Petrino were colleagues here at Auburn under Tommy Tuberville. You remember Bobby Petrino from his time at Auburn. What do you think of what do you remember about Bobby Petrino as a coach at Auburn? And what do you think of the decision to bring him in at A&M?
Brilliant offensive mind. I mean, he was he's pretty fiery guy, you know, one of those guys that, you know, isn't the biggest, but that wasn't going to stop him from standing up against anybody. He had a bunch of kids, one a year older than you and Scott. And I know that, you know, they played, he and Scott played ball together. And then Katie, I guess, was a year or so younger and then on. So, I mean, a bunch of athletic kids as well, but yeah, he's a great offensive mind. I mean, I know, yeah, the checkered past with him. The Falcons fans can't stand him for the way they feel like he walked out on them. Arkansas fans, you know, it felt like he was an embarrassment. But, man, when he's been somewhere and, you know, there's not that outside noise, he's put up prolific numbers offensively. I mean, that's been the case. And it's not a situation where, you know, it's not like Jimbo Fisher, who the head coach at A&M, he had big offensive numbers years back, but it seems like his offense sort of stagnated. I don't know that you can say that about Bobby Petrino.
Yeah, I think there was an era in college football not all that long ago where maybe if you had the right you had the right play caller, you had the right guy philosophically to running your offense as the head coach, maybe he didn't need to recruit like a top five, top 10 program year after year, and he could make up the difference. Dan Mullen, maybe to an extent, Gus Malzahn would fall into that role. And then I think Bobby Petrino would be someone that people would think about, where there was a time when, you know, when he was able to have incredible success. The recruiting stuff, among other things, may have caught up to him. But I believe for a long time, Bill, that either at a program where you feel like the program recruits itself to a degree, or as the offensive coordinator for a head coach who is able to recruit top-tier talent. You know, I've thought for a long time Bobby Petrino would be a very dangerous coach given that situation. And because I don't know if he ever really had that. Louisville and Arkansas are not destinations for top-tier offensive players historically. And otherwise it's been, you know, it hasn't been like it is here at A&M. And yeah, if they have a great year offensively, I don't know if I'll be shocked, because they've recruited so well and Bobby Petrino has shown that ability over hundreds of games as a college football head coach or offensive coordinator.
Yeah, over decades as a play caller. Now, I don't know that I'd say Bobby Petrino is not a good recruiter in that he's always been able to spot talent. I mean, you know, he's the guy that got Lamar Jackson. I mean, he's the guy that, you know, he found some of those outstanding skill players at Arkansas that may not have been five stars, but, man, they turned out to be really, really good players under his tutelage. So that's something. He doesn't have to be the main or the closer as far as a recruiter. But with the talent that he has to work with, this is probably, you know, outside of the Auburn team in 2002, which was young but extremely talented, this has got to be one of the more talented rosters he's ever had to work with.
I would like to know, and I probably should have asked Jimbo on the teleconference about this, how Bobby Petrino, after years of being a head coach, is taking to the role of offensive coordinator for a CEO coach like Jimbo Fisher? Because I got to imagine it's very different than what Petrino was doing at. I know he's been an offensive coordinator for a long time too, but then he made the jump to head coach and was a successful head coach for a long period of time. Was a head coach at the FCS level, right? Before A&M brought him back as offensive coordinator. Like, if does he prefer, you know, being able to just focus on being the offensive mastermind and letting other people handle the other things? Does he miss the responsibility of being the top guy? Like, I'd be curious to know if maybe Petrino welcomes the change to being the offensive coordinator for a team like A&M rather than the head coach at a place like Louisville or Arkansas.
I think that's a really good question. I mean, there's not as much pressure on him. He doesn't have to answer to everything. Ultimately, you know, the buck stops at Jimbo. I think that's a really good question that, you know, maybe I'll ask that, depending on what happens tomorrow after the ball game.
Yeah, and that's also, I mean, for somebody like, I don't know, we've seen coaches who, and Bobby Petrino won as a head coach too, but we've seen folks that maybe take to the coordinator role more than the head coaching role. And I wonder if in this day and age of college football, letting someone who is more hands-on in recruiting handle the head coaching job and Bobby Petrino just being, you know, the head coach of the offense, I wonder if that's something that could bear fruit, maybe even if it's not at A&M. Like, I wonder if someone could say, like, yeah, that's a model that we're seeing that a little bit with Will Muschamp, right? I mean, we've seen more,
right,
more results. Like, that's sort of a defensive equivalent of something like that. Like, I wonder if this is the start of sort of a new era for Petrino in major college football, and I could see him sticking around even if it's not an A&M.
Yeah, and I don't know that there are going to be many opportunities where he could make more money and have much more talent at his disposal than he does at A&M if things go well.
What we're seeing, Colorado has an offensive coordinator who left, I believe he was a MAC head coach. Sean Lewis, yes, I think, was the head coach at Kent State and left that job to be Colorado's offensive coordinator. Bobby Petrino was a head coach at the FCS level, left that to become A&M's offensive coordinator. Like, you could see why, especially if the goal is being a head coach at the Power 5 level, maybe you're better off, especially if you have head coaching experience already, maybe you're better off as a coordinator for a high-profile team instead of the head coach of a Group of Five program these days.
Sure, it makes sense. I mean, because it looks like we're headed to super conferences, and you're definitely going to be more high-profile, and it might be easier to make that move from being a very successful coordinator at a very, you know, prominent, or, you know, one that is seen as often. Obviously, we're going to see Colorado a lot, and places like that. So that does make sense.
All right, Bill. So you're not – I can't imagine you're optimistic about Arkansas's chances against LSU tomorrow?
No. I mean, now, the only thing the number is awfully big. So in Doug's game, we go by the number, and they may be able to keep it close. See, Arkansas and LSU have played some great, great games. But I just don't see Arkansas winning. Is Rocket Sanders back for the Hogs?
I have not seen an update on it. I thought he was trending towards playing, but I wonder if that's going to be something they surprise us with tomorrow, the decision whether or not to play him. I think I would consider doing it that way if I were Pittman this late in the game, right? Like, keep the question open until kickoff about whether or not Sanders can go. But yeah, I would agree. Big number on the road, but I could see an Arkansas cover. I do just the path to victory feels like it, especially for an Arkansas defense that just offered, or an LSU offense that was able to play so well, and an Arkansas defense that, yes, struggled in key moments against BYU last week. So yeah, I think that's a what about Bama Ole Miss, Bill? Where are you on where are you on the game in Tuscaloosa?
I'm back on the let's see it. I think Lane, I don't know if he's going to be able to cash that check that he's put out there. I mean, wasn't it get the popcorn ready 2 years ago? Yeah, Bama fans had the popcorn ready and really enjoyed every bit of it. I just don't know. I mean, I can't imagine Alabama putting Jalen Milroe back out there and not trying to run an offense that's more suited to him. I think it's going to be a fun ball game. I think could be a lot of points scored, but I think the Ole Miss folks that are already, you know, making reservations in Atlanta probably ought to wait until after the game tomorrow before they go ahead and put down that deposit.
Yeah, it would be if it goes the way, you know, Bama fans fear and a lot of Ole Miss fans hope. Like if Ole Miss, I mean, Saban hasn't lost back-to-back home games since 07. He's only lost one home game as a head coach by more than 10 points. It was the last one they played. Like if those streaks continue and it becomes more fair to wonder if Bama has a quarterback on the roster that can win them games. Like then we're in a new era of Saban's time at Alabama. It's different. I need to see that happen on the field before I predict something like that. I'm not going to write the obituary, you know, quite yet, because this thing is still, I think it's still very, very much alive. And now Saban, you know, it could be a crushing blow for Lane Kiffin. You know, he could pick up a win that's, you know, that speeds this all up. But I just don't know if I got to see it happen, Bill.
No, you're right. I got to see Alabama play like that three times in a row. They didn't even play that badly 2 weeks ago. If they play anything like the way they did at South Florida this past week, then yes, then the dynasty may be crumbling. But yeah, I've got to see it to believe it. Are we getting Don on?
Yeah,
like usual.
I'm gonna go. We're gonna try to call Don. I was gonna say before this segment ends, you wanna offer your pick for Auburn Ole Miss, or for Auburn A&M, or are you calling us back?
I'm going to call back. Well, as a matter of fact, I was going to say I could probably Skype in.
Skype in during the commercial break, and we'll see if we can get Don on the phone, and we will try to have the three of you, or we'll try to have the two of you and me that way. So we're going to take a break. Former Auburn defensive line coach Don joins us when we come back. You are listening to The Drive.
Attention large property.
Drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back. Friday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Drew at the controls. And through the magic of technology, we've got Bill Cameron joining us digitally from Texas. Bill, you can hear us. We're connected.
Yeah, you
all right,
sound
cool.
Fine.
Yeah, Bill sounding good over Skype. And we will now welcome in the pit boss himself, the former Auburn defensive line coach, one of our favorites, Don Dunn, is joining us. How you doing, Coach?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
It's an exciting time, conference play. And Auburn going on the road. We were talking to you, you know, the week of the Cal game, how a game like at Cal could pay dividends when you take a team, especially early, when you take a team on the road in league play. You know, maybe some of this stuff isn't as new for these guys because they just went on the road 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, no doubt. It's always an advantage when you've had a long trip where you fly on an airplane, which is different for a lot of guys, where you spend the night and play on the road. I think it's going to help us a lot. And plus, it's an early game. We don't have to sit around all day tomorrow. I know it's going to be hot. I know their crowd's very into it. The 12th man, that stadium is something else. I was fortunate enough to coach there one time when we were at Texas Tech. And asked Bill tomorrow, that stadium's going to sway. I'm telling you, it moves. I was in the press box. I was scared to death. But, yeah, I think it's a definite advantage for us to have already had a road trip.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that, Don. I'm glad to be on here with you. Yeah, sorry I didn't get back with you today. We were en route driving out here. Stopped around Lafayette last night and then made the way on in today. I'm telling you, I was telling Dan a little while ago, if I don't have to drive through traffic in Houston again, I'll be very happy with that. But yeah, looking for some Auburn folks. I hadn't seen many over here. But the A&M folks are pretty excited. I mean, even though they lost that ball game to Miami, you know, this is their first conference game, and I think they're pretty excited about what they can do offensively with somebody you know pretty well in Bobby Petrino.
For sure. I know what you're talking about, that drive. You know, I made that when Coach Price's funeral, and same problem. Traffic was terrible. Crazy drivers. Yeah, you know, I don't know a lot of people know it or not, but Bobby and I have coached at three schools together. University of Nevada, he was the offensive coordinator, then, of course, at Auburn, and then he hired me at Western Kentucky when he got the head job there from Texas Tech. So I know Bobby very well. I've known him forever. His family, you know, was from Montana, and I coached at Montana State, and their name was very well known in the state. His dad's a Hall of Fame coach in the NAIA division. And then his brother was a head coach at Idaho, I think it was. Yeah. But it'll be interesting. He'll have a good game plan. He's a heck of a football coach, as you guys know.
Yeah, I don't know if – I mean, I wonder if he's had this kind of talent at his disposal as a college football coach in recent years, with the way A&M has recruited at all the different positions, and you know, four straight top 10 recruiting classes, including one that was ranked number one, and yeah, you would think that gives Bobby Petrino the some weapons at his disposal for his quarterback.
For sure, I think he'll try to run the ball tomorrow. You know, everybody thinks they're going to throw it every down, but I think they'll try to establish a run, like you guys were talking earlier. The key is the line of scrimmage on both sides for both teams. You know, we got to get a pass rush. I think we got to keep our players fresh, rotate them as much as possible. I know we have some injuries, but and we can't, you know, we got to control the clock, penalties, and no turnovers if possible. And I think we'll play well. I think the kids will be excited. I talked to a couple of coaches this week, and they were excited about the opportunity.
Yeah, I have to imagine, even though they have not tried to overwhelm with the run game through the first 3 weeks, they've passed it more than they've thrown it. They're going to test Auburn up the middle defensively, Coach. I mean, if it's second and five or second and three, and A&M's able to, you know, if A&M's able to win first down, it just feels like it's going to be a real long afternoon for the Tigers.
No doubt. First down and third down are two key downs. And like you said, first down, if we can hold them, you know, 3 yards or less, then it kind of puts them in a bind where they have to pretty much throw play action. But I think they'll try to run the ball. Then he'll take some deep shots on us, and we just got to keep the explosive plays down. And we've got to make some ourselves. So it's going to be a good game, I think. I'm looking forward to it. And I really like the early start. I wouldn't want to play them at night out there tomorrow night.
Yeah, no kidding. Don, last week Auburn overmatched Samford. It was a game where they got a chance to play an awful lot of players, get some young guys in there. Just talk about the importance of that. And you were mentioning a couple of minutes ago, Auburn's been on the road, so that's good too. I mean, they've got some guys. A big key for me is just how healthy are they going to be, because they got a few guys banged up last week.
Yeah, we do. We have a lot of injuries. But, yeah, anytime you can play the young guys and play a lot of people, number one, it helps your team morale. It keeps them interested. It's no fun to practice, you know, for 12, 15 weeks and not get any playing time. Plus the experience. You can't beat game experience. The speed of the game, the tempo, everything's completely different from practice. So the more you can play people, the better. And I look for us to try to rotate some, especially up front, because it's going to be so hot. And if we can get through that first quarter and hang in there, I think we'll be fine.
Coach, we talked about it earlier this year when he passed away. But this is also a special weekend because it's Auburn's trip to A&M, the first time Auburn's gone there since the passing of Coach Terry Price, who was such an important figure in A&M football history, and a guy who had so many people who loved him in the Auburn area wanted to mention, at the very least, that this is a really significant week, and we're all thinking about Coach Price too.
Yeah, the field has TP stenciled on it. I noticed that. I saw that earlier in the year, and then the players are going to wear the TP on their helmets. And his son was the first to put the first stick Baker on, which was pretty special. And I talked to his wife last week. Kenya called us, and she's doing okay. And, you know, the one son transferred, fifth-year graduate student. He transferred, I think, to Florida, one of the Florida schools, and he's playing receiver. So she's been staying busy going to watch him every weekend, which is good. But it'll be a special day for the Auburn situation for sure.
No question about that. Talking with former Auburn defensive line coach Don Dunn, and as we were talked the last couple of weeks, you definitely keep an eye on the guys up front. What do you think? What have you seen from Auburn? It looks like they're trying to build some depth, getting a few more guys in there. Something we really hadn't seen much the last couple of years. And with the heat tomorrow, I think that could be a huge factor. Auburn needs to have as fresh, you know, fresh guys as they can.
Yeah. I think this defensive staff, they realize you have to rotate your guys up front. I know it's hard to do in the heat of the battle. You want your best players, but you gotta rotate them. And I noticed they did play a lot of guys the last couple of weeks, which is going to help. But you gotta keep them fresh. And if you look at the good defensive teams, they roll their front quite a bit. You'll have certain guys that are better on third down, certain guys that are better against the run. But I think that's a key, like you said, with the injuries, to rotate the players, especially the defensive linemen, because they, you know, they're good rushing the passer and chasing the screens and the draws. And when it's that hot, it's tough.
Coach, really appreciate you making some time for us, as always. Outstanding stuff. Is it a quiet weekend on the smoker, or folks?
Well, we've got a big order of ribs going out for some. I guess a lot of people are going to watch the game, but going out pretty early, so I got to put on probably about 30 slabs of ribs tonight. And next week's already a zoo. Larry's already a nervous wreck for next week, and so I'll probably be there. I may have to call you guys from the pit next week.
Get your orders in early if you want some barbecue for Georgia weekend.
That's right. That's right.
Wouldn't want it any other way. Outstanding stuff, Coach, and yeah, have a great time this weekend.
Thanks, guys. Good luck. Bye.
Former Auburn defensive line coach Don Dunn on the pit. And shout out to Larry too, as always. Appreciate Don.
He is the man,
isn't he?
Countries, absolutely. I was going to say, yeah. You know, there got to be a lot of watch parties for the folks that. You know, get up. What a great thing if you've already got Don smoking you some ribs.
Ooh, you know that's actually it's going to be that game will be kicking off late enough in the day. Bill, you've gone barbecue for the Greystone draft before, right?
No,
we've had some barbecue catered for that affair, and I think yeah, if you're watching that game with a group tomorrow, you don't feel like cooking. I think some ribs from Don Dunn might be the might be exactly what the doctor ordered. Let's take a break and come back. Bill, can you hang on, or are you
yeah.
are you taking? Okay, we're gonna have more Bill Cameron when we come back. Stick around. You're listening to The Drive.
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Friday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Drew at the controls. Bill Cameron joining us via the internet from his posh accommodations just outside of College Station, Texas. And Bill, what do you have sightseeing / entertainment / dining on the docket for tonight?
Well, let's see. We've got a little wine and cheese tasting scheduled here after the show, and then we're probably going to head over to Cooper's Barbecue for tonight.
Very cool.
Tonight.
I know some folks that are. We were talking with Justin yesterday. Justin and the Auburn 24/7 guys are. I think they might even be staying in Houston and making the drive and. Yeah, Nathan having never been to In-N-Out Burger, this is another opportunity for him to cross that one off the list because I believe they do have one in the state of Houston. But yeah, should be a.
When I saw Five Guys, I didn't see an In-N-Out.
I was
not wanting to look too much to the sides when you're driving with you know, 95 mile an hour traffic swerving back and forth in front of you.
You had the eyes peeled on the road. You're not going to make it to midnight yell practice tonight, I imagine.
Sort of doubt that. Not with an 11 o'clock kick. I mean, we're going to have to get out of here pretty early. We're only about 15, 20 minutes away from the stadium. That is normally, I understand it'll take about, 30 to 45 to get over there. So, I don't think we're going to try to do that tonight. Just one little thing here. Here's a little bit, little note for you. As of 5:30 this afternoon, the temperature right here is 97 degrees.
Wow.
It is going to be really hot tomorrow.
And it might, apparently somewhat, it's going to be cooler at kickoff, but it's going to
heat up quickly.
Yeah, it's going to heat up quickly throughout the day. And that's, I think even if this game were played at room temperature, Bill, we would still be talking about the importance of Auburn's depth defensively. Yeah. I thought Don Dunn was absolutely right. Even though A&M has attacked through the air with Connor Wegman, if they think they've got a chance at success by running it up the middle on Auburn, that's what they're going to try to do. And they're going to do it until the game's over or Auburn has shown that they can consistently stop. And that's, that's something that, Bobby Petrino has had success on the ground against Auburn before. Those Arkansas teams, when he was able to win in 09 and 11, it wasn't just through the air. He went up and down the field on Auburn on the ground too. So I would think that's a, the pressure is on the Auburn run defense tomorrow to hold their own, because if they can't, it won't be a game.
Yeah, you're right. I think the perception from a lot of people is, well, Bobby Petrino just throws the ball. Think back to 2002. That 2002 Auburn team was a team that ran the ball very well. He loves to go deep, just like Don Dunn said. He runs the ball, and they haven't run it as much this year. But one of the reasons was because they got behind against Miami. Their leading ball carrier, Amari Daniels, has only carried the ball 34 times in three games. They really haven't had that opportunity, and they've been trying to get Connor Wegman's timing down with the receivers. But I agree. We all thought heading into this year, one of the concerns for Auburn was the rush defense. Auburn struggled against the run last year. They were gashed a good bit with the runs right at them. So I agree with what Coach was saying, that Bobby Petrino and A&M are going to test the Auburn run defense, because Auburn's got to be concerned with the receivers that A&M has. So I don't think they can afford to try to overplay. They got to play them pretty straight up. And that's where A&M's going to see if they can rely on those big guys up front, create some running lanes, and see if they can run. If they can run the ball consistently against Auburn, it's going to be a long day for the Tigers.
Arkansas ran for, how about 09, when Auburn was 5-0. They go up to Fayetteville, Arkansas, and Michael Smith, 18 for 145 on the ground that day against Bobby Petrino in a game where Arkansas at one point led it 34-3 before winning 44-23. 2 years later let me see if I can find the number on that score 2 years later. But it was another rout 2 years later in Fayetteville when Auburn went to Arkansas. That 2011 Arkansas team, 11-2. The two losses were to Bama and LSU, who played in the national championship game against each other.
Yeah, for a top five team.
There was a real – you could make the case Arkansas was the third best team in college football in 2011 under Petrino. That was the final year under Bobby Petrino before fate intervened on that Arkansas team. That 11-2 season, and they were not – that was a team that wasn't just wasn't just doing it on the ground. Auburn went to Arkansas, the number 15 team in the country, 2011. They were beaten 38-14 in that game. And that one wasn't an overwhelming performance from the Arkansas run game. That one was Tyler Wilson going through the air, and Auburn's offense not really getting in gear. But no, Bobby Petrino, remember Michael Bush? He had that running back at Louisville. 250-pound running back that ran for, had a couple 1,000-yard seasons when Petrino. It's not the air raid, and I know he's thrown the ball with Connor Wegman this year, but if Auburn can't stop the run, I got a bad feeling about tomorrow.
No, Jimbo is the guy who You know, you always wondered, why didn't he run it more? Never really wondered that about Bobby Petrino. When he's got backs, he's going to use them.
Yeah, and when he was able to get, I mean, he was able to produce on the ground with Lamar Jackson as well, which isn't really the same thing. But he was, yeah, they were able to run the ball at Louisville on you know, after he returned to Louisville to coach some coach them during the mid 2010s as well. So how are you? What's your general feeling about tomorrow's game, Bill? Where are you? Where are you in the picking contests? And what have you put on paper?
Auburn can't afford to get into a shootout. I don't think they can afford to get into a high scoring game. Auburn needs to hold A&M to under 24, and that's going to be really difficult. A&M is, I think, understandably 7 or 8 point favorite, and I ended up going 27-20 A&M.
So I'm of two opinions about this, Bill. Like, I think there's a version of this game where it's clear in the first 5 minutes that A&M has a talent advantage at both lines of scrimmage, and Auburn, you know, is going to be down 3 scores in the first half, and it's never really going to be competitive. I could see that playing out. I could also see it playing out where this game is close throughout, and the A&M folks that thought this was going to be easy start to get nervous, and the A&M players start to press, and they start to make uncharacteristic mistakes. I mean, A&M has an advantage at the line of scrimmage. They had an advantage at the line of scrimmage against App State last year and lost that game. So, I mean, it's
Auburn last year.
They had the advantage at the line of scrimmage against Auburn and lost that game. So I think that – and Bobby Petrino, it's funny we're mentioning him and those Arkansas teams, because there were two times, the 2009 and 2011 season, where Auburn went on the road – against a team with a Bobby Petrino offense. They were not they were not the better team talent-wise. They had some weaknesses that Arkansas could exploit, and the games weren't all that competitive. Twice that happened. That could happen tomorrow if Auburn's weaknesses are, you know, if they're fatal flaws against an A&M matchup. You know, this could be A&M up multiple scores in the first half, and I don't think Auburn's built to come back, you know, on the road against a team like A&M. Like, this is a game that needs to, like, Auburn doesn't need to be down 21 trying to rally back to like, that's how that game goes from 21 to A&M winning by more than 21, right? Like, that if A&M can force Auburn into come back, throw on every play mode, then you just don't see, you know, you don't see a happy ending. The longer this game is close, the scarier it can be, and it's a, I think even if I weren't rooting for Auburn, I've talked to enough other folks around the league who, when Auburn's in a close game, you don't want to be the other team. You know, they've done it too many times to too many people. There are traumatized fan bases around the SEC who have a game that they knew their team was going to win, but Auburn, you know, called on Auburn voodoo, right, and found a way. I mean, that game in the Swamp was 20 years ago.
It's been in Auburn, though. A lot of times it happened in Auburn.
It has, but it happened. It happened in the Swamp in 07. It happened in Fayetteville in 07. It's happened to A&M a couple of times. I mean, so you know, I think there is that concern there that Auburn, and granted, every team is different, but you know, the longer this game is close, the more I think you could see A&M start to press and make mistakes. So I'm calling the upset, Bill. I'm doing it. And
you're right. I mean, this is going to be a long enough drive back.
I should point out, I'm in last place in the rivals picking thing. So maybe I'm taking some big swings early.
Yeah, I'll be glad for you to catch up. I'm tied for first, and I'll gladly take a loss here.
I don't think very many folks in that picking contest are taking Auburn. Like, I'll tell you, like, I think that the, you know, a lot of the guys that are, they're
catch
breaking
up a lot of ground, if you're right.
Could catch up a lot of ground. So I think I win Auburn 28-27. You know, give me Auburn something thrilling and something razor thin
I think an Auburn win would be one of those. It would be one of those that folks are talking about for a long time.
Right, and Auburn already had one of those this year. Granted, the Cal game was an eyesore for some of that runtime, but the finish, the fourth quarter, the way Auburn stormed back, like, that's, I mean, Cal outplayed Auburn, right, for much of that game.
Oh, yeah.
And then the fourth quarter, you know, enough things came up Auburn. You know, they rolled seven enough times in a row that they were able to come away with a win. And you know, Auburn's they're going to need to roll some sevens against A&M, but I don't know. I think they can do it. So I'm taking Auburn close, and with the caveat that I absolutely see a path to a one-sided A&M win, but I think Auburn's got one of them. I think Auburn's got a road win like that in them this year, and A&M might be the place in conference where it happens.
Well, what they have to do, I mean, I think you said it a little while ago. I mean, they can't afford to be sloppy. I mean, turnovers, penalties, they've got to play a much, much cleaner game than they played the last couple of weeks.
And it does. I think Coach Dunn made the point about winning first down, which is, you know, like, yep, if Auburn's behind the eight ball on second down as a defense over and over again, you know, if they have to, because you know, if it's second and three, the whole playbook's open and Petrino will take shots and they'll run the ball to keep the offense on the field, like the whole thing. If A&M, I did it too. If A&M's getting, you know, if they're able to succeed on first down, then this. It feels like the path narrows for Auburn to have really much success at all as a defense against this team. Bill, we're gonna take our final break. Enjoy the game. Have fun in College Station for the first time, and tell us all about it on Monday. All right.
Looking forward to it. Yeah, hopefully back in Auburn by Monday afternoon.
Don't want to keep you from wine and cheese, which I know is happening momentarily.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Yep. Have a great weekend, and yes, should be back with you and Brian on Monday.
Looking forward to it, Bill. Safe travels, and enjoy Kyle Field. Bill Cameron, skyping in from Texas as we continue in the second hour here on The Drive. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned. This is The Drive.
You can help others.